Good morning, Catherine. It's great to be with you this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. What a great opportunity, Carolyn.
Yes, Catherine Dalton, you are the executive director of a group that has been around for a long time, but people may not know. This group is called Community Solutions of Central Oregon. And give us some background about this group, first of all, like the longevity of what you've been doing and some of the effect that you had, and then we'll get into some details.
Well, we are actually one of the oldest nonprofits in Central Oregon that no one has heard of. So many of my calls, people go, "I wish we had known you existed. We didn't know you were here." It's hard to get the word out because really what we do in terms of we do mediation. It's community mediation. And until you are in dire straits in the middle of conflict and so forth, you're not looking for us. It's not, and it's not something you hold galas and dinners and golf tournaments for, but we are a community resource. Mostly when people hear the word mediation, they only think of lawyers and so forth. But a little known fun fact is that mediation in the United States was embedded into the 1964 Civil Rights Act in an effort to address racial, ethnic, class, and gender inequalities throughout the courts. So it has a long history of access to justice and community support and, lower cost, non-litigious ways for people to get through difficult conversations and not escalate. So
Yes.
that's what we do.
And I see, according to your webpage, that you have served at least 17,000 people in these 25 years that you have been operating in Central Oregon.
Yes, we have. And many, many times, spend a lot of time doing intake calls. We'll spend time with people who call in. It may not be something that is relevant or, mediation is a possibility for it, but we are able to listen, give some support, give some referrals. We have a lot of community partners. Bend has really great resources. So very often it isn't something that qualifies for mediation, but we also do, that we have a lot of small businesses here in Bend that do not have an HR department. Employee retention and finding employees in the first place, and employee retention has become incredibly important. And so we are able to handle some of these conversations where, the management and the boss and the owner, they step out and it's just us deal, talking with these employees who are not getting along and possibly causing friction. And, the small business owner really wants to keep both of these people, but they're not skilled in communication training and so forth. And they want that neutral party so that the people can speak freely and not worry about their jobs. I know when you we've spoken a little bit before this, and in terms of that 30,000 foot view, again, we kind of cover anything that can be mediated. And if it's not a one-on-one mediation where you're looking for a mediated agreement, we do group facilitation. I recently have done two different nonprofit board facilitations because I have 30 years of nonprofit board experience, just helping people get back on track and get going and do strategic planning. So there, it's kind of a soup to nuts. It's all just helping people communicate and,
Right. Well, and I see on the section of your webpage where it's mediation, there are 10 different categories of mediation alone that you do. So it really does cover a very, very broad area of any kind of need that people have for help in communicating with each other and getting on track, like you say, on the same page.
And it is. I mean, the problem is that people we all avoid difficult conversations. We've all seen that phone number come up on our phone. I'd call our ID, go, "Oh, brother, I haven't paid that bill," or whatever. We don't pick up the phone. That kind of thing. A lot of what we do is housing stability work. That's through a couple different federal eviction program, Oregon Foreclosure Avoidance Program, the Manufactured and Marina Communities Resource Center. So we do that for people who live in manufactured housing communities. A lot of the time, what happens in landlord-tenant is that they, if they would just communicate, things would be fine before that eviction notice gets slapped on the door. But you know, the tenant avoids it. And when I finally get people to the table, I hear over and over again, so often from the landlords, they say, if you just talked to me, we wouldn't have come this far. But it is hard. We don't, you know, a lot of people have so many other stressors in their life. They just avoid these conversations. And then, you know, a neighbor to neighbor. The biggest thing, I think, if you had to really drill down and say what community dispute resolution centers do, there's 14 of them here in Oregon that each have an area. And that's under the Oregon Office for Community Dispute Resolution, quite the mouthful. And that is under the Oregon School of Law, University of School of Law. So we are all mandated by statute in terms of how what our training has to include and so forth. So if someone were to Google Oregon School of Law and look for community dispute resolution, they can find what center covers their area. And we're all friends and we all help each other. And it's wonderful. And because all of us, depending on where you are, some of us are more rural. Some of us are in Beaverton, Portland area, very different group and needs and so forth. But, you know, we've all got it covered between the, you know, among the 14.
Right.
The Central Oregon is its own thing.
Sure. And I would imagine that probably what people might think of first, too, are family issues like family court and dealing with divorce or parenting, custody, guardianship, estate planning, all of that stuff that maybe they might be referred to mediation through an attorney that they're working with. Is that possible?
Definitely. And we have been doing a little bit of outreach to local attorneys. A lot of attorneys know mediation, but they do a different style. It's called shuttle mediation, which is different. We do conference mediation where the two people are in the same room. And the biggest, in terms of what we aim to do is, in a, you know, the perfect model is that the two people or the two parties come together. They come to a solution between the two of them. If you go to court, there's a winner and a loser. You go in front of the judge. He gives you a couple minutes each to say your side. He looks through the paperwork and then he makes a decision. And so you've lost all agency by the time you walk and sit in front of a judge. So we do pretrial small claims mediation for the court up in Redmond. And that very often means that people don't even realize it at first that they're actually learning communication skills, and it's downgrading, you know, it's when they have agency. So if you go in front of a judge and he hits the gavel, so John Smith, you actually do owe, you know, Ann James this $500, boom, bam, it's over. If you had met mediation, maybe you only came to 350, you guys came to an agreement finally. What they have found is that the compliance rate with a mediated agreement in that kind of situation, the compliance rate is in the 90% range. Whereas when a judge hits the gavel and there's a winner and a loser, you may have a civil, you know, you may have that small claims judgment, but you still have to go collect that. And, you know, the disgruntled party that lost is not going to make that easy. So there's really a lot to be said for people signing that thing. They had the conversation. We have surveys that we give out after our mediations, and it's a short one. But one of the questions is, if you are in this type of conflict in the future, do you feel better equipped to handle it on your own? And again, those are way in the 90%. Yes. Like they have learned some skills through a facility, you know, through a mediation, they have learned some communication skills, which is the beauty of it. You're practically, you know, giving people these skills that they can go forth and use and hopefully, you know, spread those around and, you know, not get in so much trouble.
Yes. And moving on to the facilitation, I have actually been a part of a strategic plan development in a large group. And it was several different entities that were coming together. Actually, it was a school district and making a strategic plan. And it took days on end for us to do it. But it was so helpful to have somebody who knew how to guide us through that, how to get us all working together and figure out how we could make these strategic plans and come up with our problem solving and consensus building and that sort of thing. It really was great. And I'm glad to see that you do that for different groups and helping in whatever kind of group is looking for that sort of guidance.
Yeah, I think the bottom line with so much of this is people just need to be heard. Sometimes you're in a mediation and one person definitely has a, you know, maybe a stronger case. We hate to use that word. And we are neutral. And, you know, we're not sitting there being judges. We're not attorneys. We're not, you know, counselors. But really, once they've been heard, they will sometimes just say, you know, at least I got heard. And the other side has gotten to tell what their needs and interests and so forth are. And it, then they're not carrying that burden. They don't feel stomped on. They don't, you know, it kind of levels the power structure a little bit.
Sure. It helps people feel like, okay, I can agree to this. It's not my exact language that I would have chosen, but it is something that I can work with and be a part of. So that is so valuable because too often things can get to be pretty contentious. And so I'm not just saying that about school districts, but any large group where you're dealing with a lot of different pieces of that organization that are trying to work together. Well, you also do an education program, too, where you're helping educate people about all these things that you do, workshops and presentations and going into the schools and government offices. Boy, you just spread out completely among all different groups and levels in a community.
We try, and we are building back capacity and expanding a lot more. Things slowed down during COVID because mediation is hard to do when you're not on the same room. Everybody adjusted, and there was a lot of e-mediation, but the in-person aspect is really very much more effective. When you sit in a room with somebody, everyone becomes humanized instead of the conflict being the big boogeyman, the bat, you know, the person you're having a conflict with, whoever it is, whether it's neighbor to neighbor or anything else, it's become inflated in your mind and they're just the bad person and you know, causing you problems. And there's that great equalizer of sitting in a room and just, okay, this is a person that has their own issues and their own problems. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, they need you to give them that deposit money back because their mother is sick in the hospital somewhere, whatever it is, you know, there's all of those things. And so we do conflict resolution trainings. We are going to be doing more of those. We've got some hurdles to get through this summer, but in the fall, you know, we do free conflict management trainings that people can come into, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, just basics. We've got a lot of things that are in the hopper. I'm trying to get down into, we're trying to go upstream a little bit and try to get to a younger population so that they're learning communication skills way earlier rather than sitting on their cell phones and social mediaizing and, you know, bullying and things like that. They're actually learning how to communicate and be leaders of their groups and say, you know, this is right. Let's sit down. Let's, you know, this isn't helping anybody.
Right. And I think it's powerful to have somebody in your own age group that is working through this with you, not an adult who you see as being an authority figure, but an equal at your age. Well, I'm glad you brought up that topic of trainings, because to do all of this work, it takes a lot of people. So you must have quite a cadre of people who are working to do all of these things that you have. So let's look at that now.
Well, we are extremely blessed here in Central Oregon. Popular place to retire. We have really high skilled people who retire here and still want to give back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people from social services, a lot of people who are therapists, and just other people who are just good people and want their community to be more peaceful. And, you know, they care about housing stability, access to justice, and so forth. And they are willing to come and get this training. And we were up to 40 before COVID. We're lower now, but they are amazing. And they give back to their community hours and hours and hours of volunteer work. The training is extensive, but they love it. And they stick with us and they beg for cases. When we get slow, they're calling us. I mean, they are terrific people, but we can always use more. Because the more people I have, the more I can expand and do some of these things that we would really love to get going.
Right. And you just completed a training this spring. And so you've added another group of people to those that are trained to do this. You have both basic and advanced training too. So once a person gets involved in this, they can start to specialize as well, couldn't they?
Correct. They can specialize in the marriage and family. So they're handling more complex cases like, you know, dissolution and so forth, and parenting plans. And there's the court training that you go to after basic mediation training. That's usually a one day so that you can do the small claims work. And the district court in Bend has a small training that they'll do, and you can volunteer down there. So we do a lot, you know, and depending on what people like to do, what's nice is we have such varied cases. We have therapists that say, I never want to do a family case again. So that's fine. Oh. We have plenty of other things we can do. But the best thing to do is, you know, send an email if any interest, you know, support@solutionsco.org, and ask questions and we'll answer, or feel free always to leave a message. We try very hard to get back within 24 hours.
Your phone for messages?
It's 541-383-0187. And the great news is we have expanded our staff quite a bit because we're part of the Emerging Adult Program through Deschutes County. So we're helping these young adults 18 to 24 possibly get out of that revolving door and, you know, repair harms to the community and get some opportunities that got them into hot water in the first place. So
right. And maybe keep them out of the penal system by doing something like that. You gave us an email for people and also a phone number. And we've also got your webpage address, which I think I want us to repeat all of those again before we finish this. Also, because you are a nonprofit, people can donate to support you as well if they don't feel like they have the time or the inclination to actually get in there and start doing the work as the facilitators. They can donate, can't they?
They absolutely can. I appreciate you bringing that up. And they can restrict the donation. So if they have specific things they would like to subsidize, so whatever it is, you know, if they're trying to help with family mediations, people who, you know, when people come to us to do a dissolution, they're, you know, lower income, and we have a sliding scale and sometimes free, but sometimes even that's not enough. So there are opportunities there. I'm always willing to discuss that with anybody. Super happy to do that.
Right. Yes. Well, and it's good that I have found out about you, because now we'll just work hard to get the word out about your group and make people aware of it. And of course, if they've ever used it before, can they get on your webpage and just share a good review for you too, as well, if they've used the services?
Oh, absolutely, because I am upgrading our website. But what they can, if you go onto our website, there is a contact us tab that you can send. Those emails will come. They say support, it comes to me. So I am always looking for those happy stories, because that's what gets the word out. It is. And most people don't go out to dinner and go, well, I was fighting with this person, and, you know, they don't talk about it, you know, a dispute. So it's hard. So yes, getting the word out is rough.
Absolutely. So your webpage address again
is solutions with an S, C-O, like Central Oregon, .org.
Right. Yes. And an email that they can send if they're interested in becoming a part of your volunteer corps
would be support@solutionsco.org. And we are planning another basic mediation training in October.
Oh, good.
So we are getting that started to go. So anyone interested, we will start putting you on a list and give you all the information.
Great. And you do have to have a full class before you do your training. So yeah, the earlier they sign up, the more quickly you know you can do the training.
Absolutely, Carolyn. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad we had a chance to talk. Thank you for all this information.
And thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. It was such a delight, Carolyn. Thank you so much.